What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, and despite being in Texas less than 24 hours ago, me and B are in the prison cell studio. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I'm good, brother. What's happening with you?
Obviously, there's so much football to discuss. Washington has another kind of miracle win at the end, and that's going to mask a lot of what was a pretty ugly football game. There's so much excitement about this matchup with the Bucks coming Sunday night football. Mm-hmm. Clearly, nationally, they want Jaden. I don't know how much more obvious you need to see that's the biggest stage, the wild card weekend, NBC, oh, yeah. Sunday night football.
7:30.
Dude, it's going to be wild. And it's so exciting and cool. Let's start with any concern about the mild leg soreness, because we're going to hear about this all week.
No, I have no concern. I think, listen, from what I've heard from some people that they didn't plan on taking him out the game, but I always thought that he would come out of that game at some point.
So did I.
I thought it would be a different circumstance. Maybe they'd be up or something like that. But once things started happening around the league, in a sense, you're looking at the fact that we're in the playoff. That's what they want to be. And I think at that point, him finishing up the game and risking Lucas is not playing. Piatek is not playing.
Yeah.
Risking further injury or risking something injury was not necessary. And I thought that's the reason that they did what they did.
I think, Jaden got sacked twice on the first three snaps.
Yes.
And it was Micah Parsons who was playing whatever. He was playing to impress Dan Quinn, playing for incentives, whatever. He was shredding them. Offensively, they were awful. Jaden was under pressure pretty much the whole time. Hell yeah, get him out.
Yeah.
I thought we'd see Mariota in this game regardless. I wasn't necessarily expecting it to be a full second half, and obviously how the finish and everything. Mariota has been really good when he's gone in for them, man. Yesterday he finished 15 of 18 with a 160 through the air, 2 touchdowns. Also ran 5 times for 56 yards with another touchdown. You got to applaud. I think Brian Johnson deserves a big chunk of the credit. But certainly Peters and the personnel team to identify Mariota as the right guy to be the backup. And with a rookie quarterback, a rookie number 2 overall pick quarterback, you need a player that can help you should he have to go in the game.
Yeah.
But you also need the right person. And Marcus has clearly been that guy.
I think the 2 times he's gone in this year, he's shown that he's capable as a player for you. But I think the behind-the-scenes things that he's done, catching him on tape talking to Jaden prior to the game 2 weeks ago, those things, that constant, supporting and being a mentor for him has been more important than those 2 times he's gone into the game. And you watch him, he may not be what he was when he was at Oregon when he came out, but he's damn sure still close to it.
And I think he can read NFL defenses and identify where to get the ball out to. The throw to Terry at the end was just so exciting. It's funny. We're all sitting in the press box.
Well, I saw that play was the same one he threw early, a little high. He brought it down a little bit, and Terry did what Terry does.
Well, it
went and got it.
I mean, in that moment, the Bears-Packers game was ending at identically as the Commanders-Cowboys game was ending. And there was real question. I mean, the Packers took the lead. Washington is losing. All of a sudden, it's like, all right, that we're going to Philly, and they're going to be the 7 seed, and they're going to cough up the 6 seed. And then Mariota busts the long run, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to talk about the last play, but the 4th and 1, and Mariota just keeps it when the kid Malik Hooker's celebrating because they thought they had him down, and he just wiggled out and kept going. It was pretty damn funny. But I really wanted – I don't know why, right? Because there's a lot of good people that are tied for the record as it sits right now. But just like on a human level, I really wanted Terry to get the single season touchdown record.
He did.
He didn't until the last play of the game.
Hey, it ain't over till it's over.
Right. I'm really happy he got it. And in that fashion is just so crazy, man. It really is. And, it was Ricky Sanders, Charlie Taylor, Jerry Smith and Hugh Taylor were all tied for 12.
Mm-hmm.
Now Terry stands alone at 13. The nature of receiving records is such that some of these might be hard for him to ever catch, like the single yardage season that Santana had or whatever. But you want Terry to start getting his name in some record books. And I was really glad that happened. I mean, just an absolute hell of a football play, too.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you watched him. We saw in that game, I saw a lot of resilience. I saw a lot of making up for what happened earlier. OZ, early in the game, you're going, what the hell? And then at the end of the game, two fantastic catches. You know, Terry wasn't involved a lot early, but he became the man down the stretch. So that team has shown you throughout. And if you look at their coach, Dan Quinn, I know what everybody was saying in the beginning of the year and all that, what they were thinking, but they have taken on his personality. And they don't quit.
Totally. I mean, the last four games, when they went to the bye at 7-5, a lot of folks weren't exactly sure how it was going to go, right? They had four games left. Most people were saying, all right, if they can go 2-2, they'll get in with 9 wins. They went 4-0. Every single game came down to the wire.
Five. It was going to 8-5.
They were 8-5 after the Titans game. Sorry. Dude, because New Orleans went down to the wire,
Yeah. Even
with a fake clock management. Philly, obviously. Atlanta, obviously. And then yesterday. And you got to look at it from like a bunch of different angles, clearly.
But think about it. In stressful situations, they have the ability to calm down and make things happen. And that's all you can see. I mean, it's been five games right there where it happened like that. And if we go farther into the early part of the season, hell, the pass to Terry against the Bengals, same type of situation.
Bro, the Hail Mary?
You know, all those things, it just shows you they have a belief in themselves now that is unlike some things we've seen prior.
I believe the only, like, close down-to-the-wire game they've lost was the Steelers game at home that dropped them to 7-3. You're mm-hmm. right. They were 8-5 at the bye because they beat the Titans there. They had the 3-game losing streak and then beat the Titans. But to finish the way they have, it's going to be hard. What Washington is doing is hard to quantify. Like it's really difficult to put an empirical data set to it because.
See, that's the thing about it, Jay. There's more to football than just data.
Totally.
That heart thing, that resilience thing, all that. Nobody can tell me anything about that when they come with these numbers and analytics and all that. That makes the world of difference.
I totally agree. But at the same time, now that you know it's Tampa, you know the weapons they have offensively, defensively, you know what you're facing. You know you get a week one rematch. This team, Washington, is significantly better than mm-hmm. they were week one. But I bet Tampa is too.
Defensively, they're not. They've lost some people on their defense.
A ton in the secondary.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, that started week one. Remember that safety mm-hmm. like broke his leg? Yeah. They had to cart him off. For me, the rushing defense has been so woeful over the last month that you really got to try to figure something out. Brian, at this stage, it's January, I don't know what day it is, 6th. Is there stuff they can fix going into Sunday night? Or are they just they are?
It's not necessarily stuff you can fix, but it's things you can lean to. Knowing your competition. Because if they, like I watched yesterday where you had Deron outside, you had John Newton, and I forgot, they had a different front four.
They've been running with the three.
You can do stuff like that. If you know that Tampa have certain things they love to go to, you can do whatever you can with your personnel to try and take away from that. But you are who you are at this point. You know, I think it comes down in this situation where they've had games where the turnovers popped up, the penalties popped up. You got to be a little bit more keen on those things.
The penalties, some of the stuff yesterday was significantly better than it had been the previous 2 weeks. They only had 5 penalties versus against Atlanta. They had 13. St. Juice still gets hit with the ticky-tack stuff. One of them mm-hmm. yesterday I thought was pretty unfair. I think it was like he has this reputation for always holding, so they're just looking for it. The procedural stuff, they did a good job of largely cleaning up yesterday. You can't have silly, like, offsides and false starts in the playoffs and win games.
Mm-hmm.
The turnovers have been there. You had the one turnover yesterday, but Washington has an undoubted ability. Like, we've seen it so much now that you have to trust it to make plays late when it matters. And Terry McLaurin talks about it as winning time moments. Like, you see it over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Still, you'd love to not start so slow.
Yeah.
See, that's what they all said yesterday, too.
When I watched the game last night, Detroit and Minnesota, early in that game, I'm watching it, and I'm like, Minnesota is in trouble.
Yeah.
Because Minnesota's a team that has to start fast. Detroit is not that team. Detroit stays around, and all of a sudden they get up on you one time, and then it begins to snowball. Once they started rolling, I knew there was not a chance in hell that Minnesota would come back.
Agreed.
Washington has shown when they get up on you, they run away from you. But they also shown that they can fight back and get some things done. So I just really believe that they have to focus more on they are great at making adjustments. They come out in their second half team. They come out at halftime, they're totally different. They got to find a way to do those adjustments, have a game plan early, or make the adjustments on the fly. You know what I'm saying? And if they could get that done, I think, because when they start rolling, not many people could score with them.
That's, I mean, we'll have to circle back to this throughout the week. Jaden was very clear that if they needed this game for the playoffs, he would not have come out of the game,
mm-hmm.
right? And he said he'll be ready to go 100% next week. You'd have to drag him off the field, all these things. But you are going to have that situation. What Jaden has proved at this point is if he's right, they can score with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way, I don't think anybody could kind of doubt that. Defensively, though, you got to be able, it'd be great. The defense has had kind of ups and downs this season, but the last few performances have been among the worst. Now, Jaden's able to be a magician and pull rabbits out of hats, mm-hmm. right? But you just wonder, when does that run out? And I think we've talked about it a lot. Like, you need this full team.
Yeah.
I think special teams have been quite good.
What I catch a lot of times, the defense overall performance, it may not have been good, but every time we come back in the end of a game,
they're able to get
they
stopped.
Make a stop somewhere. So they have been just as stand up or clutch as the offense, because we don't get two touchdowns if we don't stop them, you know, and get the ball back to our offense. So they have to get to a point where you don't have to get pushed or pressured for you to stand up. You got to just stand up immediately.
I think, I mean, I totally agree. There is a huge, huge kind of personnel thing to watch this week, injury thing, and I don't think it's Jaden Daniels. I think it's Marshawn Lattimore. If you can get Lattimore out there against Mike Evans, those two guys have a crazy history. I mean, that is its own unique thing.
Yep.
But, dude, these corners, the Sabres still, I thought, had a good game yesterday, but, like, Noah Igbe, Mike Davis, BSJ, that's a tough group to try to match up with a Bucks passing game that's pretty elite. And then I think it's – if you can get Lattimore back, is a total game changer defensively.
Yeah.
I don't know that you get him back.
But I think more than Lattimore, pressure up front will help you out.
Sure.
I like the first game.
I was stunned by the lack of pressure on Trey Lance yesterday. I was stunned.
The first game against Tampa, they got to Baker.
Mm.
They just couldn't get him down. So whatever they were doing in the first game, they were beating the offensive line. So if they had the same offensive lineman and they got the same scheme, what you have to do now, when you get to him, take him down.
Sure.
You can't let him slip through all the stuff he was doing.
Baker in that game, I just pulled up the box score. Baker was 24 of 30 for 289 with four touchdowns.
Yeah.
That was a good little precursor of what the Bucs were to become. Now, Gobbins out. He killed him that day. Evans killed him that day. The Bucs are good. At the same time, it's the playoffs. Like, you're not going to get any cupcake.
You're not.
The patty cake portion of the season is over.
And the thing about it, listen, man, I listened to the Jugs a little bit this morning. I was listening to, I saw some other stuff I laid on last night. You're not going to play a perfect football game. But you got to make sure that your mistakes are a little less than the other team. You know what I'm saying? It's all about peaks and valleys. If your peaks are way more than your valleys, you're going to have you can come out at the end of a game. When you hear coaches talking about games turn out to be 3-4 plays, possibly 5, that's real. And you got to make sure if you got the big, you got the big play ability, make it. You get to a quarterback, you got him wrapped up. He should not be able, and I'm just going to say this, and I watch the NFL. Anybody that's listening to me, if you are involved with the Commanders, you can't make tackles standing up on your feet. Go to the damn ground. I watched yesterday, we're trying to push people down. NFL, I don't care how skinny they are, how small, they are strong as hell. They don't just go down. Wrap up, fall to the ground, you normally take the guy down with you. Tackling has to be better.
Absolutely.
I am so sick of, listen, man, when a guy run and just give me a shoulder, as a running back or a stout receiver, like a Terry, that's what I would love. Because you're not taking me to the damn ground. Dude. If you wrap up, know what most players do when you wrap up on them? They worry about somebody coming in and hitting them low, so they probably go down anyway. But if you think you're going to just bump people with a forearm or a shoulder, that ish does not work.
My man Deuce Vaughn yesterday, he's 5'6", 175.
Yeah.
And he runs breaking like he's, tackles.
Like he runs like he's 5'10", 230.
I know. He had 6 for 37. Turpin was really good. Tolbert was really good. We got to have some honest discourse here. I think if Cooper Rush plays that game, I don't know that Washington wins. Because Trey Lance was so bad early. Going into halftime, he missed an easy touchdown throw. I think B-Mitch at age 56 makes that touchdown throw.
I said the exact statement yesterday. I was in a suite with all Cowboy fans. And they were like, man, what would you do there? I say, I don't know, man. He don't have –
touch.
He has no touch. When he tries to put touch, he throws it too short. And when he lets it fly, he could take your hands off.
What about the little – they ran that little tight end boot that was wide open, and he just gassed it. Right, the tight end had no shot.
The one he threw to the back corner,
right?
It landed 15, like 10, 15 yards out of bounds. Yeah. And his receiver was what, 5'8"?
Yeah, it was Trey Lance ain't good. And there are some raw tools there. The couple times he got loose running, that dude is fast.
He can run.
But I
let's
think
say he's an athlete. I don't know about being a quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Washington, 6 seed, Sunday Night Football, Wild Card Weekend, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're going to open the phone lines up at 11. Plus, we're going to talk about our drives in today. It wasn't that bad. Everybody be safe out there. It's B. Mitchell Finley. We're just getting warmed up.